Heavenly Father, you've spoken to us this morning. You've told us how precious we are to you. And Father, just as you've been speaking to Mike this week, in preparation for this, you have a message on his heart for us. You want to speak to us again.
Yes.
Father, just pray you'd bless everything that you've put into to Mike, but also all things that Mike speaks of is from you,
yes.
Nothing of him, Lord.
Yes, God.
And again, Father, I just pray that we have soft hearts and open ears to hear what you have to say to us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Is this on? I hope so. The red light's not on, Mr. Woodhouse, so good. Let me get a drink of water. All right. Well, hello. How are we? Doing okay? Good. That's a good response. I don't know. I was anticipating like, oh, doing okay. It's Sunday. Got work tomorrow. No, it's bank holiday. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all his mercies. The Lord is good and good to all. Hallelujah. Well, good. I'm glad you are doing well. Again, to reiterate what Dale has said, to those of you who do not know who I am or have never seen me before, my name is Michael Ivey, and I'm one of the junior leaders here at Hexham Community Church, along with Joey Latham, who's up here talking about political stuff that I can't really affiliate because I'm not from this country, about that stuff. So, yes. But it's good to be here. And again, before I get started, if this is your first time here at Hexham Community Church, just to reiterate what Chris had said, welcome. You're so welcome here. We love having you. So feel free to come get a coffee with us, come have a chat with us afterwards. He'll be on Neil Strike's bill. with that being said, we are going to look at our foundations today. Before I go any further, I think it's important to emphasize that this talk, this preach, is aimed for those who are Christians or who affiliate under the umbrella of Christianity, okay? But not to worry, if you're a non-Christian, not to worry. Let me encourage you, please do not switch off. Please do not turn off, because I think some of what's being said today, I believe, is applicable to your life as well, okay? And there'll be something for you later on. So when I talk about roots today, when I talk about foundations, what do I mean by that? Well, whenever I was praying for today, I did feel God say, see the roots. Look at the roots. If we can, Brenda, put up the picture here. Great. You see, one of the most important parts of a plant is a part you cannot see, right? Roots are absolutely vital to a plant's health, and if the roots are sick, the plant is sick. Now, before I go any further, for those of you who are in here thinking, what on earth am I doing here in botany class? Right. Not to worry. This will all make sense soon. And equally, there might be some of you in here who are thinking, I'm pretty sure that dude knows absolutely nothing about gardening. Well, then I would say your assessment is accurate. Right? I would. Just to help you a bit, I've gotten most of my notes or most of my information from gardeningknowhow.com. So that's, you know, gardening for dummies, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I will say, online, if you're looking for how to grow plants and stuff, you need to be very careful, because there's some stuff out there about teaching you how to grow a certain type of plant. So I would encourage you, stay away from those websites. That is, those are dangerous, okay? So moving on. So, thanks, Neil. So just like we cannot see the roots of a tree, we cannot see the heart. Like actually see a heart and all its valves and all that. But we can only see the outward expression of what's happening underneath the surface. So if outwardly we look like there's not much life happening in our day-to-day living, then there might be an issue in our hearts or whatnot. So in many ways, the purpose of this preach is meant to be a self-health checkup. How are our hearts this morning? How are they? So if you have your Bibles, will you please turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. That is Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. And by the way, that's the only slide I have up for today. I hope that's okay for those who like visual stuff. Luke chapter 6, verse 43. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good measure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil measure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Okay, so this is Jesus, and this gospel in Matthew is on the Sermon of the Mount. Okay, and if we're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, here's Jesus, and he's talking about, you have heard it said like this. And Jesus is constantly attacking motives and the heart issue behind doing what we do. Okay? So Christian living has always been and will always be about the attitude of our hearts. You know, God is not bothered by what we do. He is, you understand. But God is more bothered about the high, the how, and the why we do what we do. So if your roots are bad, that will manifest in your own life and become quite clear to those around you. Something's not right. And therefore, what you give to people, because you're rooted in something unhealthy, the fruit you give to people is not good. It's not nourishing. It's not filled with God's grace and his goodness and all that he is. So you have to be careful what you give to people, because we are measured, or we are recognized, by our fruit in our lives. A couple months ago, I was listening to a guy named Paul David Tripp. He's an American pastor, preacher guy out of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area. And this sermon on the Gospel Coalition, he was talking about anger, as you do. And there was one quote, one thing he said that stuck with me. And it said, a person's ministry is never, ever shaped just by knowledge, experience, and skill. Ministry is always shaped by the true conditions of our hearts. You know, and ministry, this is for everyone in here, okay? Ministry is not just about standing up on this platform and speaking. Ministry is not just for the elders, not just for the directors, not just for the wider leadership team. Everybody in here has a ministry and has a mission field, whether that's in the workplace, your social groups, your family, you have a ministry. So if you're sitting here this morning, you might be thinking, you know, that's all well and good. But as a Christian, how do I measure the fruit in my own life? Excellent question. Turn with me to 2 Peter, chapter 1, 3 to 8. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 8. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just reread verses 5 to 8 again. Please pay very careful attention.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities, or if these things are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. I lost my spot. That's not good. And the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look down at verse 10. And I'm reading now the ESV. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. Are you displaying these attributes in your life this morning? Or are you displaying anger, hostility, bitterness, frustration, fits of rage? What are you displaying? See, transformation that lasts comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked a bit about the Holy Spirit earlier. And transformation that lasts comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. To use an example, sometimes you get these people, you know, it's 1st of January, I'm 50 stone, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to lose this weight, and I'm going to be buff. That way I can go to the beach, flex my muscles, you know. So you get these people who commit to the gym, but it doesn't last. At some point in time, mid-January, end of January, mid-February comes, probably not in the gym anymore. They don't commit to that. But transformation that lasts does not come from our own strength. It comes from the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Against such things, there is no law. And therefore, those who manifest them are fulfilling the law, according to my ESV study Bible. Are you displaying these things in your life? You have love, you have joy, you have peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control in your life. No matter how difficult the circumstances are. So if life is hard and people squeeze, if you were to be squeezed like a towel and to be dripped out, what's coming out of you? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, etc., etc., etc.? But what's coming out of you? When times are hard, what is it? So my question is, what are we rooted into today? How is the soil around our hearts? If our hearts are the roots that are branching out, and Jesus is meant to be the soil that provides nourishment and the nutrients needed for healthy plant growth, can we sit here today and say, I am fully in Jesus this morning? Honestly, I don't know if I can. It is a day-to-day struggle. And it starts with picking up our cross and dying to self every day. Every day. What's the purpose of soil? Soil is important to plants because it stores nutrients and serves to help the plant grow. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Is Jesus our treasure this morning? Do our hearts delight fully in him this morning? Or are there things of this world that we delight in? See, Jesus just wants our hearts. Come as you are. Jesus just wants our hearts. No matter how dirty, no matter how we think, how filthy it is, he just wants our hearts and nothing else. If our hearts are fully rooted in him, we cannot help but grow. and bear fruit. Last August, I was with my father-in-law. We went to the garage in Hayden Bridge. As I was looking out to the river in Hayden Bridge, I noticed the grass, the trees, and the flowers next to the river just sprouting with life. You couldn't help but notice them as they looked to have so much life in them. To me, all the greens, the pinks, and the yellows were absolutely jumping. And I felt God say that there is life and life in abundance next to the river, no matter the season. The river is God's spirit, and the closer we are to it, the more life we have. Not just partial life, but life to the full. Do you need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit this morning? You know, before Jesus came, there was the Ark of the Covenant, and God's Holy Spirit resided in the Ark of the Covenant. Little, I don't know, 3 feet by 4 feet. I don't know. It was small, really small. You know, to put that into context, I think some of us here would refer to that as prison. So when Jesus came, bore the cross, bore our sin, bore our shame, the curtain in the temple tore in half so that God's Holy Spirit could go and reside with his people, with all people. But going back to trees and roots, my question is, how is it that most people throughout the world can diagnose the needs of a plant easily, but most Christians struggle to diagnose the needs that we have as individuals in our faith when there are so many similarities between plant growth and our relationship with God? Man, that plant looks so thirsty. Give it some water. Bro, I feel so dry, and that my relationship with God isn't really going anywhere. You need the Holy Spirit in your life to refill you with the fullness of God. And you need to allow him to breathe life into you. Look at that plant. It looks so malnourished. It hasn't been growing at all. It's been 3-4 months. Nothing. I see nothing. Give that plant some healthy soil so that I can get the proper nourishment that it needs. You know, I feel like I'm just stuck in the same place over and over again and doing the same things over and over again. And I don't feel like I'm growing. You need to get deep into the Word of God and into his presence by his Holy Spirit and allow him to nourish you and feed your heart and feed your soul. Look at that tree and that fruit on it. It looks minging. I think that's a British term. Is that a British term? I think that is. I don't know. I think it is. So is that all right? Sorry, Neil. Oh, look at that. I lost my place. Thank you. Those apples have holes in it and has mold all over it. Right, remove the unhealthy fruit and cut off the branch. Make sure that the fruit doesn't touch or has already infected the other fruit. And inspect all the other areas of the tree to see if there's more. You know, I've noticed in my own life that I've been quite short-tempered with people in my relationships. I've been dishonest, and I've been proud. You need to turn to Jesus. Because it is only he who makes beautiful things out of not so good things. John 15:2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are recognized by the fruit in your life. How is your heart this morning? You know, in the book of Matthew alone, Jesus referenced plants, trees, seeds, and weeds 8 times. No wonder. No wonder he did so throughout his ministry because there are so many similarities. How are your roots this morning? How is your heart this morning? You know how we speak to people, respond to people, receive people, serve people, always reflects the true nature of our hearts. Always. Now here's where I'm speaking to both Christians and non-Christians alike. Building your life on anything other than Jesus Christ will only fail and fall and let you down. It will. Building your life on anything other than Jesus Christ will leave you empty and will leave you dry. Which is why people get into this pattern looking to fill their lives with something that they can belong to. Whether that's men, whether that's women, whether that's drugs, whether that's sex, whether that's alcohol. They're filling a gap and it's never enough. Only Jesus Christ can truly satisfy. Building your life on anything other than Jesus Christ is a lot like building sandcastles. They're here today and gone tomorrow by the tide of life. They may not be literally gone tomorrow, but at some point in time they will crumble and they will fall. Jeremiah 17, 7 to 10 says, "Blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. And does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, and test the mind, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds." And Luke, back to Luke 6, 46 to 49, says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." What are you building your life on? Is there something in your life that you're treating more important than Jesus today? Honesty is a good thing. If God sees all things, knows all things, then why hide? What's the point? What's more important than Jesus in your life today? Is it your spouse? Is it your job? Is it your house? Is it your car? Is it your kids? What is it? Jesus will never, ever turn his back on you. He is so full of grace, so full of truth. He is kind. He is merciful. He is loving in all of his ways. Jesus Christ will change your life today if you allow him. Because he is honoring and respectful like that. He will change your life. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, started his ministry at the age of 30, lived a perfect life, took up the cross 3 years later, to die because it was his good pleasure to do that. That was his mission, to take up the cross. Why did he take up the cross? It all goes back to the fall. And Adam and Eve, God walked in the cool of the day with Adam and Eve. There's an intimate relationship there. And because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, they're cast out. Relationship changed forever. Jesus came to restore that relationship so that we could have life and life to the full. found only in him. Nothing else. Jesus came so that we might have intimacy with the Father and that we can know his heart and know his heart for us. Jesus loves you so much today. Whether you're a Christian or not, he loves you so much. And he will never, ever turn his back on you. You can meet him today. Today. You can meet him today. So if you don't know this Jesus, again, you can meet him today. We would love to pray for you. Likewise, if there's something in your life that you're struggling to give up this morning, come receive prayer. We were not meant to do this life alone. Come receive prayer, and we'd love to pray for you. Because there is power in the name of Jesus this morning. There is. Lives can change today. Let me just pray. Father, thank you that we can approach your throne with confidence. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Thank you, King Jesus, for taking up the cross, for it was your good pleasure to take up the cross so that men and women could have a life, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come now and soften hearts and touch hearts, God, and woo hearts back to you, Lord. I pray that you would come in power, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. Thank you, God, that you give peace that transcends all understanding, Lord. You are the solid rock upon which we stand, Lord. All other ground is sinking sand. Bless you, God, for all that you are and all that you do. It is in your name. Amen.
Thank you. If the van can just come up, that would be great. Makes me my job very easy. As he says, for some.